The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show!
I'm like gonna read one more chapter.
That made me sick.
Why don't you wake up?
To lovers? Yes, yes, please. Is it seriously 2 a.m.?
We got back together.
I'm literally gonna
throw my book.
Shh.
Sorry.
You're listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast.
Bedtime's option, right?
Hello, hello, readers, and welcome back to episode 2 for season 2 of the Midnight Romantics podcast. I'm so happy that you are joining me today. We have a super fun episode today on sports romance, okay? So sports romance has always been kind of an iffy genre within romance for me. I've read some that I've loved, and then I've read some that I haven't loved so much. So today I have my guest. She loves sports romance, and we're going to chat a little bit about it today. So please welcome my friend Mia to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to have so much fun. So my first question that I always like to start with for all my guests is, what is your favorite romance novel and why?
My favorite romance is actually not a sports romance.
Okay.
I think my favorite romance novel is... This is such a basic answer, but I think it might be Pride and Prejudice.
Really? I love that.
Yes.
So have you actually read the book?
I have read the book.
Okay. That is amazing to hear, because that is something that I've been wanting to do. Like, I've really been wanting to get into reading classics, and like, I think it would be so fun to do an episode on classics. So if I actually do read classics, stay tuned for that. But I just like, I found it like so hard to kind of get into. So what are your tips for someone like wanting to get into reading classics?
I think my biggest tip is you really have to want to read it.
That's probably a good place to start.
Yes,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think when you really sit down with a classic and like you have an objective of wanting, like, not wanting to like the book, but actually wanting to explore it a little bit. And sometimes like the English is a little bit but if you reread it a couple of times, you're into the plot, then I don't think reading classics is that hard.
Okay, what do you love about Pride and Prejudice?
I like how in-depth the characters are, like, and just the entire plot in itself. I think there's just something so romantic about the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, it stood the test of time. Like, it's
That's
iconic for
saying.
A reason. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you were to pick associate or like turn Pride and Prejudice into a sports romance, what sport would you choose for it?
Oh.
I'm just picturing that in my head, like Pride and Prejudice as a sports romance. Like, honestly, I'm down for that.
I think it would have to be a weird sport. Like, I don't think you could put it into like, I don't know, something old-timey.
Perhaps equestrian.
Perhaps like polo.
Yes, polo. Okay, so Pride and Prejudice but with polo.
Yeah,
that's where we're headed with this. Okay, I love that. So my next question for you, I just have a few questions about sports romance. So my first one is, what drew you to reading sports romance?
I think as someone who likes watching sports,
mm-hmm.
just having that extra element in romance is what drew me towards those types of books.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I feel like for me, like when I was younger, I used to be like super into sports. Like I played a lot more sports, and like I've always been competitive. And so
yes.
I feel like sports was like a great outlet for me. But like as I've kind of gotten older, I feel like I've grown into more of like my artistic self, and as not as much as like being into sports, but I definitely like still appreciate them, which I think like it's nice to have that aspect in a book sometimes, where you can like, you're like, oh yeah, I remember when I used to play sports, or just like have that kind of competitive aspect as
yes.
well. I think that's super interesting. So what is your favorite aspect of sports romance and why?
I think it's how books portray athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of the times in media, you don't, like, really get to see too much of, like, athlete personalities. So, like, mm-hmm. in a sports romance, you get to kind of romanticize mm-hmm. how you think mm-hmm. athletes are, how they act.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just that, like, yeah, it's the romanticization.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It's like that yeah. of athletes, because you have to picture how they would act because you don't know for sure.
That's so true. I feel like athletes, like, in real life, there's, like, such a veil. Like, when I think of the athletes, I just think of, like, in getting to know about them, I think about, like, the interviews hockey players give yes. after games. You're like, you know, like, we pass the puck.
We just
had a good game, you know, like... Like, tough competition, but, like, they played their hardest, but we just outplayed them today.
Exactly.
That's what I think of. Like, I was, when I was watching, the Olympics, there was, like, this, like, these two athletes, I can't remember what sport they played, but they did, like, a parody of, like, of how hockey players talk.
The bobsledders.
Yes, the bobsledders. If you guys haven't seen that, go find it, because it was so funny, because it was just, like, it was so accurate, and that's what I think about. Yes. So I think, like, sometimes sports romance, it's kind of fun to see, like, oh, like, there's more dimension there, and, like, kind of, like, play that up a little bit. So I think that's really cool, because, like, that's all that I think about. And so I think having some more depth is really interesting. My next question is, why do you think sports romance is so popular? Because I feel like with, like, book talk and stuff, it's kind of blown up, and I feel like there's so many books now that are sports romance. So what do you have to say about that?
I think sports romance is popular because of the way the athletes are portrayed. I think readers, they like that kind of, and I'm not saying all like book athletes are portrayed like this, but they kind of like the cockiness, mm-hmm. the quote-unquote, like, bad boyish attitude.
Yeah.
Or even, like, they're either portrayed like that, or people like the golden retriever athlete, mm-hmm. they're very drawn to that. And I just feel like people like how usually athletes are portrayed in books compared to, like, how other characters are,
mm-hmm.
or, like, other men in books are. And I feel too, I don't know, I think there is such a, like, I think people like the idea of an athlete,
yeah.
which is what draws them to sports romance in the first place.
I totally agree, because I feel like, as we were saying before, I feel like the whole romance genre is, like, people read it and they romanticize it, because
yes.
like, that's what you do. That's the thing. Like, you're, like, these stories, like, they're not always super realistic.
Yeah.
They're like, they're far-fetched, you know?
They are.
But, like, that's what's fun about it. And so I think, like, sports romance is one where it allows, so you're like, oh, the hot athlete.
Yes.
And you're like, you can, like, really, like, blow that up in your mind. And I feel like that makes it so much more entertaining. So I feel like that's definitely drawn to it. Where, like, my issues come in is, like, with book talk, I feel like some authors are just writing books that they think people like, that are, they just think they want to, like, market, and that mm-hmm. like, people, they think people are going to, like, it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with writing a book that you think people will want to read, but like I feel like there's such an influx of, like, hockey romance in particular,
yes.
which was, like, frustrating me at first, because I would go to Indigo and I would see, like, every, like, book on the shelf, or every author has a hockey romance.
Yes.
And, like, I was just getting frustrated, because I'm like, I understand that we're on a wave right now, but, like, how many ways can you, like, do that story, like, differently? I was just like, I just get frustrated. I feel like this happens with sports romance, because authors, they pick a sport, and then they're like, okay, then we're gonna write this sport, and then it just, like, that just becomes all the content that you see.
Yes,
you know,
for sure. And I think too, the issue with that is they start to make their characters become very flat.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
And two, like, not only is it, like, with the flat characters, I find with sports romance sometimes, it's, like, you market it as a sports romance, and then you deviate so much mm-hmm. from the sport, and then all of a sudden, the athlete's personality doesn't really represent, like, they don't have, like, a competitive edge, or they don't mm-hmm. have anything that represents an athlete. You just state in the book that they play a sport, or, mm-hmm. like, that their personality is the sport.
Yeah.
And it kind of frustrates me sometimes, because, like, as much as I don't think romance, like, sports romance books should be about the sport, because obviously it's still a romance,
mm-hmm.
you still need to incorporate elements of the sport into the plot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel like with sports romance, it also leads to more kind of, like, I don't know, like, objectification and, like,
yes.
sexualization of the characters as well, which is something that I've kind of, like,
kind of noticed a bit, and it's something that, like I think we should be celebrating, like, the sport aspect of it and not, like, really, like, I don't know, like, fetishizing the, yes, the genre, I guess, is kind of, like, another kind of, like, issue that I have with it. And I totally agree what you're saying with flat characters, because sometimes when I think of sports romance, I just think of very, like, very flat, like, they don't really, like, go through a lot of change, yes, or they just, like, kind of, like, go along with the plot, and they don't, like, kind of put, yes, the boundaries a little bit. And so I think, like, that's what happens, I think, when authors are trying to generate content really quickly, because there's a market for it, you,
yes,
know?
Yes, I agree.
Because hockey romance is so popular right now and has been for a while, because, like, with book talk and stuff, authors are like, okay, to make money or, like to appease this audience, I need to generate this content as fast as I can. And so I think that can sometimes take away from the overall quality of,
yes,
the book.
Yes, I definitely agree. And I think I feel with a lot of sports romance, the one conflict that the couple go through is miscommunication.
Yes.
And that's my least favorite,
yes,
romance trope.
So frustrating.
And it makes me so mad every time.
Yes. Have you read the cheat sheet?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so that book is just so funny to me. There were so many weird things in it, but, like, me and my sister, like, listened to that audiobook together over winter break a couple years ago, and we just, like, had a ball, like,
yes,
listening to it. That is the worst example of miscommunication.
I know.
Oh my God, it's so frustrating. So, like, if you haven't read the book, it's pretty much, it's a football player, and then a, like, she's, like, an ex-dancer, I think.
Yes.
Like, she hurt herself. And, like, the entire book, they both like each other, and it goes back and forth from both their POVs, and they're just coming up with the stupidest reasons why they won't tell each other.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, you don't want to mess up the friendship. Girl.
Shut
girl,
up.
Girl, have you seen these, have you had these, you've had these moments with him, and you're like, he's very clearly interested in you, like, I don't know, that, but especially because it's like from page one that they both,
yes,
like each other, and, that book was just insanely frustrating to,
yeah,
me.
Like, it could have been over 50 pages ago.
It could have been over before it even started, to be honest, okay? Like, it could have been done so, like, yeah. So miscommunication, I think, is definitely one you find,
yeah,
a lot in sports romance, and it is frustrating. It's really frustrating.
And I think, too, in sports romance, another big issue is the way they write the female character.
Yes, absolutely.
So, like, I'm not saying, like, you need, like, a very, like, fierce, strong female character, but,
mm-hmm,
I feel like a lot of time in sports romance, they make them very mellow,
mm-hmm,
or they make them, like, this, like, scared, like,
mm-hmm,
it's either that, or they make them too headstrong,
mm-hmm,
like, I refuse to date an athlete,
yeah,
and blah, 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 and you're like, girl, please.
Yeah, 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 I know what you mean. I feel like, with sports romance, I feel like, they can very easily fall into, like, stereotypical gender roles if you're,
yes,
having a sports romance with, like, a male and a female character. And then I just feel like that's just because of, like, the culture that exists,
mm-hmm,
around sports. And so I think kind of, like, it's so great to see, like, queer sports romance books, and it's great to see books that kind of, like twist, like, gender roles or, like, kind of play around with that, because I feel like it's a subgenre that's, like, very easy to kind of get pigeonholed into, like, okay, this is how the male character acts, this is how the female character acts, and, like, this is what their relationship's gonna look like. And so I feel like to kind of, like, reinvent sports romance and, like, to make it something that people, more people can, like, enjoy and relate to is, like, to kind of diversify that a little,
yeah,
bit, I think.
I agree. And I think, oh, I wanted to go back to your point about fetishizing the sports.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, I think a big, big issue, like, around sports romance is the way people, like, they develop these, like, almost, like, not parasocial, but it's, like, they think how the book, it's how, like, real life is.
Yes.
And then they bring that to, like, actual, like sports games, or when,
yeah, yeah,
you're,
yeah,
watching on TV, or even this whole thing surrounding, like, what is the, like, the boy aquariums.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. Like,
no, that is,
just,
like, I understand if you read a romance book and you want to romanticize that sport romance, but that should stay
in the book.
Stay in that, in your world of, like, reading, and, like, because, yes, I think there are aspects of sports romance that kind of are, like, based in reality, like, maybe, like, showing another side of, like, an athlete or whatever, but there's also aspects that are absolutely fictional,
yes,
and are, like, products of the author's imagination.
I totally agree.
And, like, yeah, boy aquarium, that's so true. Like, that is, like,
I don't know, like, that, yeah. That's, like...
That's the most objectifying. That's
objectifying. And I feel like what's interesting is because, like, we often, like, in romance books, I feel like it's easy to say, like, or, like, just in real life, to look out for, like, female objectification, but male objectification is also
yes.
an issue as well, and, like, and something that needs to be, like, honestly, you could argue that there's more male objectification in romance books because they're yes. mostly written by women, and so I think sports romance is a subgenre that kind of amplifies that, and so I think being aware of that when you're reading it and kind of, like, noticing, like, oh, this isn't really kind of, like, appropriate, or this isn't really okay, or something I shouldn't, like, apply to sports in real life. I think it's important to kind of look out for that.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. With that being said, I did want to talk about Heated Rivalry.
Okay, yes.
because everyone's talking about it, and I haven't read the books, but Mia has, so I just wanted to kind of ask, like, your perspective on the, like, book versus show, and what your thoughts were there.
I liked both, to be completely honest. I read the books a little bit ago, so my mind's kind of fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did a great job at, like, one, giving us visuals to the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think, especially on the budget they had.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it was,
for sure.
It was really well done. I do think I like the book a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the show had only 6 episodes, and I think
True.
The book, there was so much more to cover than what the show represented, but again, that's just what happens when books become movies or shows, like, you
mm-hmm.
you tend to lose a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it was great, and I think how I visualize the characters were basically what the actors look like.
Mm-hmm. That's always rewarding too, like, yeah, I've talked about that in, like, other episodes about, like, adaptations. It's always, like, rewarding when, like, the way you've, like, because you get so intense about
yes.
envisioning, like, how a character, like, appears, and, like, when it, like, matches, I think that's really satisfying.
It was like seeing them on screen, I was like, oh my gosh, Shane Ilya,
yes. What are you talking about? Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I think I need to go, I want to go back and read the books, because I didn't, and I only saw this show when I started seeing, like, ads for it on TV
yes.
and stuff, and then I was like, I'm like, I don't know. I have, like, an iffy relationship with hockey romance.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe I'll check it out. And then I was like, so, like, it was so well done. Like, I think because, like, I think hockey was an important aspect to the book in, or sorry, in the, to the show, in the way that, like, it is kind of controlling their relationship with
yes.
each other, in terms of, like, they don't feel, like, comfortable, like, coming out or saying that they're in a relationship because of, like, this, like, the hockey culture.
Yes.
And I really like that aspect because it's, like, I feel like it's nuanced, and it shows the sport in, like, a different way, and how it can be, like, constrictive. And I think in real life it's created, like, a lot of conversations about, queer hockey players and, like, the kind of hockey culture. And so I think that's, like, a really positive aspect that's kind of come out of the show.
No, I totally agree. I think it's kind of opened the doors to have these kinds of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, like, I think in a way it's also, like, maybe not in the NHL, but in the PWHL, like, the
mm-hmm.
Women's League,
mm-hmm.
I think, like, the way they've been able to market hockey off the show, I think, is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just think it's good that, like, people are able to be more open because they watch the show. And I, like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and because it's a pretty chunky series. And I know there's another, like, Shane and Ilya book that's coming out in, like, 2027, I think.
Yes.
And that'll be, like, their final book to their story. And I know the show has another season coming out.
Yes.
Super, super excited for. I don't know. I loved the, like, the emotional aspect of the show, because obviously there's a huge, like, physical portion, but
yes.
I feel like, yes.
Yes,
there is. Yes, there is. And it's needed, and it's good, and it's starting important conversations, so,
yes.
like, it's a very sex-positive show, and
yes.
I think that's really important. But, like, the emotional aspect, like, episode five.
Oh, with the call?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my, that's my favorite episode. I'm so obsessed with it, and it's so good. And
I really liked the club scene too, because it pulls from another one of my favorite shows, which is Young Royals, which I've also talked about on this podcast before. But there's Jacob Tierney, who directs Heated Rivalry, actually said he was pulling inspiration from Young Royals, because there is like a party scene that's very similar to the one in Heated Rivalry. So I noticed that, and I was really appreciative of that, because I like seeing different elements of different shows and books combined together. I think it's really, really, really cool. It's a great show. I'm gonna get to the book, and I will make sure to share my thoughts.
Yes.
Okay, I promise.
I just have one thing that I didn't like between book and...
Yes, and I don't have that context, show. So I would love for you to share.
In the book, when Shane gets injured...
Oh, yes, you've told me this before.
Oh, this pissed me off so much in the show. What? Okay, as... I don't play hockey, but I watch it enough to know, like, and you hear in players' interviews, like, oh, I should have kept my head up, like, blah, blah, blah. In the book, he does not look back when he gets hit, and I know it was for visual context, but to look back when you're, like, I don't know, I think he was on a breakaway, like, you know you're gonna get hit in real life, and to, like, to see it play out on my screen, I'm like, you're an idiot. You're like, so dumb.
Like, you're so frustrated. And see, because I don't watch, like, sports as much, I was like, that wasn't even something that I clocked. I'm like, oh, he's just looking for Ilya. He's so in love. He's looking for him. And then it's like, bam. And but Mia's like, no, you never do this, okay? You don't do this.
I was so mad because Book Shane would never.
Book Shane would never
and
do this.
The fight that ensued afterwards, the fact that, like, Ilya was just looking over him. Like, if this happened in real life, I promise you he would have gotten clocked. Like, squared in the jaw. Why are you looking at my captain? Bam. And, in the show, like, he's just looking. Tell me he's okay. No, stop.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
I was watching this scene and I'm like, I guess it's cute, but like...
But you're like, actually, I'm annoyed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Him looking over didn't annoy me as much as Shane getting, like, looking back, though, because what do you do?
Come on, man. You need to score.
Lock in.
Lock in. You could text him after, yes. Okay? You just, like, lock in right now.
And then I think, too, like, I know you haven't read the books, but I don't know how they're going to incorporate this into the book, because, like, a little spoiler warning, but like, his team low-key gets a little upset. They're like, oh, like, how do we know you never let him win, type of thing. And I think in the book it's more apparent, because like, they wouldn't look at each other on the ice. There was never that like aspect between them where it showed. But in the show, obviously, like, you got injured because you're like looking for him. And I think, I don't know how they're gonna play it off or if they're gonna bring it up at all again, but to me that's just so like, you can argue, like, oh, the guy wasn't going to let him win. But in a way, like, you did let your emotions dictate how you played the game somehow. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to, kind of address in the book for sure.
Well, that just about wraps us up for this episode of The Midnight Romantics. But don't worry, because we are coming back next week with some more sports romance, because this is a two-part episode. So Mia is going to join me again next week, and we're going to play some games related to sports romance. So I hope they make you smile. I hope you have some fun. But for now, I'm going to sign off. And remember, bedtime is optional. Finish your last chapter, okay? Thank you so much, and I'll be back next week with some more sports romance. See you then!